You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
I'm excited to be here this morning, and I'm going to get into why I'm excited in a little while, but know that I'm excited. I'm also excited because what we did this morning, welcoming new family members in, is what I believe Jesus is all about. He's all about adding to numbers and seeing his kingdom advance and his kingdom grow. And so we're going to discuss that today. I'm going to make some people squirm in their seats a little bit today. There's going to be some brashness. There's going to be some hard things coming out today. But I believe that Jesus is the center of our lives and that the Holy Spirit is in control when we fully submit to that. So we're gonna dive into this. We're continuing in Acts. Acts, it's all about being his witnesses, and you will be my witnesses. And so we're going to talk about that today, about what it is to be a witness. Steve, he left off in chapter 3 last week. He mainly focused on the first part of chapter 3. I'm going to breeze through Peter's message this morning in the last part of chapter 3, and then we're going to dive into chapter 4, because 3 and 4 are pretty much one story that goes together. And so when we look at it, we want to see the whole picture here. So if we remember, Steve talked about the lame guy who Jesus healed. And it's so encouraging when you look at this, because instantly he jumped, walking and jumping, praising God. And that is such a great picture of new life. Now, granted, he was healed from being lame all his life, but then he instantly jumped and walked, praising God. And that, what a beautiful, beautiful example of new life and just the greatness of the God that we have the honor of serving, who has adopted us. So, moving on, after he was healed, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And then right into Peter's message, because remember, Steve talked about taking advantage of the situation. Jump right into Peter's message. And I'm just going to hit basically, in four sentences basically, you're going to hear the whole gospel laid out for you. It's just incredible. And I'm not going to read the whole thing just for time's sake. But why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And then finally, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So now we see a man healed. Peter lays out the gospel to these people, and all of a sudden, we're into chapter 4, and we got the hoity-toities of the culture coming up to Peter and John now. So here we go. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 12. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. Yes. They were disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus' resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So I take out of this right now, we're going to get back to it. They disturbed people. They got a worldly consequence. But what was the ultimate thing? People came to know Jesus. So that's exciting. That's exciting. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't say how many times I should have looked it up, in Acts, which is our example of spreading the good news, filled with the Holy Spirit is a repetitive theme, over and over and over again. It must be important, just saying, it must be important. We'll get back to that though. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. There's great power in that. There's confidence. There's a boldness in that. Then know this. I love it. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Oh, it's exciting. Now there's a lot of juice in these 12 verses. I mean, a lot of juice. And we're going to dive into portions of it. Unfortunately, there's so much in there, we're not going to cover it all. But we're going to dive into some hard truths here. And I'm going to skip around a little bit and go in a weird order, because it makes it a little bit more practical for me, which then in turn I hope makes it a little bit more practical for you. So let's dive in. Let's dive in. We're going to start with verse 7 and 8. They asked Peter, by what power or what name did you do this? Talking about healing the man. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, we can't take lightly this filling of the Holy Spirit. It's important. If you think about it, you take a group of very shy, intimidated people that were stuck up in an upper room, fearful, scared, same word, different use, maybe ashamed a little bit, lacking all kinds of confidence, and then what happens? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? The world's changed forever. Right? See, we as Christians often have fears. And I'm going to tell you that's normal. See, if someone says they're fearless, I truly believe they're a stupid idiot. Because no one is truly fearless. Now, however, courage is what helps people overcome their fear, maybe gives them that fearlessness so that they can function. So we need courage. And where does the courage come from? The filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not some crazy, weird, hokey pokey thing that people think it is sometimes. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're going to quack like ducks and fall down and shiver all over the place. Okay? Now, our God is a God of mystery. And this is a supernatural, unexplainableness to God and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to say that things like that can't happen. Okay? But I'm going to say this about this church. We believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you this, we're not going to manufacture or make anything up either. But we also know that you need the Holy Spirit to do what God's called you to do. So I've been in meetings where they're putting their hands on me going, you will fall down. And I'm all, whoa, easy does it, buddy. Easy does it. Or my wife, she's got this guy, he puts his hand on her back and he's like, fall down. And she's like, she looks over at me, what is he doing? And I'm going, hey, just praise Jesus that they're doing whatever they're doing. I don't know what it is. It's not happening for us, but that's okay. But God does work in the supernatural and in mysterious ways. And I'm going to tell you something. It's natural to have fears. Paul asks us to pray for courage and pray for him that he would have the courage to fearlessly present the gospel. So it's natural for us to have fear, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the filling of the Holy Spirit comes in. And it's not some special formula. I can't draw an equation on the board that says, do X, Y, Z and A, B, C, and then, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It really doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. It's a simple prayer. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Say it over and over and over again all the time. And if you're, today after the service, we'll have the elders and their wives and whoever else up here. And if you want us to pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, we would love to do that. And it's really just taking in what God's created for you so that you can perform as you're called to perform. And I know that, you know, sometimes we lack the words or something like this, but I want to encourage you, that little prayer of help to give you that feeling or that boldness that you need will happen, because Jesus prophesied before he was crucified. He said, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Talking about the apostles, talking about all of us. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Confidence, courage. It is not you speaking, but it is the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus speaking through you. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing. There was a time Andrew and I, we were in Poland, and we were on a train ride, and we were with some seniors in high school, and they were challenging us about the scriptures. And it got to a point where I hadn't studied some of the scriptures that had been part of their culture, so I didn't have an answer. And I said, help me, Jesus. And I say that prayer all the time. Lord, help me, please. And I'm telling you, the words were given to me. The presentation was given to me. And I shared with these people the answers that Jesus wanted them to hear. So, of course, being the processing type A guy that I am, as soon as I get back to my commentaries and my books and all this stuff, I start studying. What do these verses mean? Jesus, what do these verses mean? And I look it up and I go, wow, I could have wrote these commentaries. Now, I'm joking and saying that I could have wrote it, but Jesus gave me the answers that the old saints that I've already written down who had studied these passages knew. And I'll tell you what, that is confidence, and that is just the awesome privilege of being used by Jesus. See, I told you earlier that I love being up here. It's not because I love being in front of people. I'm not Logan. It's because hey, we're dear brothers. He gets me all the time. So it's because I know that it is not what to say or how to say it that I need to worry about. It is going to be given to me. And I love being used by Jesus. I love being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love presenting his message that he has for us. That's why. There's no desire to, like I don't feel, I'm sure just like Peter and John and all the apostles, I don't feel like I have something unique or special to share with you from myself. That's not why we do what we do. But just like I believe those simple fishermen, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, they were given the courage to get in front of the rulers and the authorities, to get in front of people that were much more educated and perhaps had much more gifting in the form of public speaking or whatever. But yet, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the courage came to function over their fear. That's just awesome. You can trust in Jesus for that. You can trust in Jesus. And when you pray for that, fill me with the Holy Spirit, then you can say, then know this. That is just a boldness that I love. This simple man gets up there in front of these guys that, you know, are the scholarly and the hoity-toities and the you-know-whos of the society at the time. And he says, then know this. Where does that confidence come from? It comes from two things. The filling of the Holy Spirit, which brought about the revelation of who Jesus was. So you need that filling of the Holy Spirit so that you can have the true revelation, so that you know from your innermost being who Jesus is, what he did, who he still is. You need that in your innermost being, and it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit and asking Jesus to revelationize you. You need to be revelationized. That's my own made-up word, but it fits. You just need to pray for it. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. There is only one salvation. You have to know. You have to have that true revelation that there is only one salvation. There's not 10,000 different ways to salvation. There's one salvation. And there's one Lord and Savior. One. It's not what our society teaches and preaches that there's, you know, oh, you just get there. No. There's one salvation. There's one Savior. So let's talk about who Jesus is for a moment. Who is Jesus? He says in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Colossians, this is great imagery that Paul the Apostle writes. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Who is Jesus? He's the answer to life. He's the answer to life. He's the answer to everything. Andrew and I, we were going through some stuff at home. We got a lot going on, and I was trying to process some things, and I'm all, hey, love, what do you think of this? And, well, should I have done it this way, or should I have said this, or yada, yada, yada. And you know what she says to me? She goes, just say Jesus. I go, but what about Jesus? But Andrea, Jesus. Okay, I got it. It's focus. It's perspective. It's where you need to be. Just say Jesus. He's the answer to life. What did he do? First Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. It's the gospel right there. It's so simple. We all need a Savior. We're all sinners. He died as the ultimate sacrifice for that. He was buried. He didn't stay buried because he rose again on the third day. And then he appeared. There's eyewitness testimony to it. It's historical fact that you can't argue with if you really dig into the archaeology and dig into the written word about it. It's just fact. He appeared. Moving on to Colossians 1. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him and through him, and to reconcile to himself all things in heaven by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is a reconciler for all. He's a reconciler for all. He's the absolute reconciler for all. He's the answer to life and the reconciler for all. And who he still is? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our Lord. He's the giver of life. That Lord word in our Western culture, in our American culture, is not truly understood. And not only is that not truly understood, we have received this gift of eternal life as Christians, as people that say yes to Jesus. But I'm going to say that that's a poor attitude. That's a little bit backwards thinking because although it is a free gift, and we're not going to deny that, you can't buy it. Can't earn it. Can't go find it somewhere. It's a free gift. It absolutely is. But the difference is we have to change our thinking process of and our attitude of taking this gift. And we have to look at it as we have to accept the fact that Jesus is who he says he is. He's Lord. So it's not just about taking and receiving. It's about accepting that he is Lord. That everything was created for him and in him and he was before all things. And that he holds all things together. It's a fact. So if you accept the fact that this free gift is for all of us and everyone. Accept that it is a free gift. But as a gift, it's also accepting the fact that Jesus is Lord. Not just a gift that you can, like if this shirt was a gift, Andrew bought me this gift. Well, I don't wear it every day. I don't take it with me every day. I put it in the closet. I pull it out when I want to wear it. I wash it when I want to wash it. I pull it out when I want to wear it. I iron it when I think it needs to be ironed, and I put it away. It's at my disposal to use when I want to use it because I received it. Now, it just doesn't work that way. It's like gravity. You can pretend that there is no gravity. Right? You can pretend that. But where would we be? Floating away. The fact is there is gravity and it holds us on earth. You accept that, right? Well, the fact is you need to accept that Jesus is Lord, just like you accept that there is gravity. There's no difference. They're just facts. They're just facts. And I'm telling you what, when you finally accept that, when you finally truly accept that, you don't just receive this gift, but you accept this gift. It's life-changing. Your focus stops being inward-focused. Your focus stops being what's going to happen next on this world. Your focus becomes, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I question, I'll throw it out there. Is your focus, seek ye first the kingdom of God, as Jesus commands us? And if it is, you've accepted the fact. But if you're still inward focused, and me and I and myself focused, then I say, have you just received this gift of eternal life and not accepted it? Just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there. All right. Take a deep breath. I know that's a bit deep. I know that's a bit weighty. And I don't apologize for that. I want it to be known. I want you to accept that. But I do say, take a deep breath. Because we're going to get even harder. Okay? We're not stopping there. And we're going to take John and Peter and we're going to look at their example. Starting in verse 2, it says, they disturbed. They disturbed. Other translations say annoyed. I love it. Here comes all the prestigious people. And what do? They respectfully disturbed them. Why? Because they were teaching and proclaiming Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. Why did they do it? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were revelationized about who Jesus is. That's why. And so they couldn't help it. That's all they knew. That's what they were about. And they knew that they were different. They knew what it meant to be called a foreigner in this land. To be called an alien. A stranger. Different. They accepted that they were different. They weren't like our American culture, and we got to figure out a way to fit in. No. They didn't care about political correctness. No. They preached and proclaimed Jesus, annoying and disturbing the worldly people. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. They went from shy to courageous. They went from shy to bold. Were they fearful? Oh, you better believe it. Why? They were getting thrown in jail. Who knows what was going to happen? They were going contrary to the rest of the society at the time. They didn't care. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were revelationized about who Jesus was. They didn't care. They didn't care about the whole politically correctness thing. They didn't care about getting uncomfortable. What did these guys go through? They got jailed, right? Worldly consequence for sharing the good news. They disturbed. They got a worldly consequence. But what happens? Their numbers were added to. Their numbers were added to. That's what it's all about. This isn't a kingdom of stagnation. This is a kingdom of advancing. And we're a part of that. And we have a job to do in that. I mean, think if Jesus didn't get uncomfortable for us. I believe Jesus got quite uncomfortable for us. I believe he got quite uncomfortable for us. He was brought before people, questioned, beaten bad, spit on. I don't know if any of you have ever been spit on. I've been spit at. It's a very humiliating and angering thing. I was pulling this girl out of the cops arrested this girl at work, and I'm a firefighter paramedic for those of you that don't know, that's my trade. And I was pulling this girl out because they wanted us to assess her medically to clear her, basically. And so I was pulling her out. I said, ma'am, would you like to step out of the car, please? As soon as I opened the door, ma'am, come on out. Because you can't really, I didn't want to climb in the back seat of a cop car with her. So as soon as I do that, she's, this big old loogie comes out. I'm all doing my best Matrix maneuver. And it's all, but when I came back like this, I was ticked off, all right? So this developed in my backhand, and I was coming up like this. I caught myself. I didn't end up striking her. I wanted to, but that's not right. But I didn't actually strike her. Thank goodness I wouldn't have a job today. But the point of the matter is, it's not a pleasant thing. It's not a pleasant thing. So then, after he's beaten to the point where he can barely carry himself, here's this big old hunk of wood, carry it for however many miles, naked. Okay, it's not like he was covered or anything. Humiliating, don't you think? I mean, humiliating. I don't see any other way to look at it. Uncomfortable. Yet, he does it till he can't do it anymore. Someone else does it. And then he's hung bare on a cross, beaten and bloody and exhausted, thinking about us. Thinking about God's plan. Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. So these guys, they couldn't help it. They knew the truth. And so they were like, hey, we're different. We're aliens in this land. So I say to you, if you got to wear around green antenna so that people know that you're different, then do it. It's good. We have a beautiful daughter. She's got special needs. I was holding her hand and the other girl's hand, and we were walking down from school, and these boys come up to her and go, run from Annika. Annika's her name. You know, and they do this kind of thing, and they take off from her. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just sharing a point with you. You know what? I could have got upset and gone chase after these boys and explained, you know, hey, she is different. I didn't do it at the time. I was distracted. I had the other kids going on. But I look at it, and I go, it's okay. They see her. They don't understand. They're just boys. They're just little kids. They don't understand that she is different. But she's different. But guess what? She's got a daddy that doesn't care that she's different. I love that child to death. She makes me so happy, and many others of you in this church she makes very happy. She's different. It's a fact. She's different. But you know what? I love her. And guess what you all have, and myself? You got a daddy in heaven that wants you to be different because he loves you so much that he sent his own son to die for you. Be different. It's okay. You might get shunned. There'll be worldly consequences. You might get shunned for disturbing people. You might not get invited to something. People might go and talk in a corner without you because you're disturbing. That's okay. That is okay. That's who we're supposed to be. We are aliens, foreigners, strangers in this land. And I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't Peter and John's good life that disturbed and annoyed these hoity-toities. It wasn't their good life. And often in our Christian culture, to make it easier on ourselves, we say phrases like, preach the gospel every day, if necessary, use words. There is a place, a time and a place for that. Absolutely, because our actions speak louder than our words. Totally. But guess what? We must use words. How are people going to know about Jesus if we don't tell them? It's not your good life, although that's important. But it's not just your good life. If you don't tell them about Jesus, they're not going to know about Jesus. Plain and simple. You didn't come to walk with Jesus if someone didn't tell you. So how come we're not sharing it? How come we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit and understanding who Jesus is and saying, I, for the love of people, I have to share this Jesus with them. For the love of people, I have to share this Jesus with them. He's the only way to salvation. He's the only Lord and Savior. We have to share Jesus. And it is. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to disturb people. But think about a witness. Think about a courtroom. So I see some horrific crime against a kid, for goodness sakes. I know exactly who did it. I can point that person out of a crowd of 100 because it just left a mark on me. I go into the courtroom. I sit down, raise my right hand, do all the blah, 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 blah. Yes, I will tell the truth. So then the lawyers start asking me questions. Now I'm a witness. I'm an eyewitness. I've seen this. And then I just... I stand there and say nothing. What kind of witness is that? This person needs a consequence for their bad action. And I have the eyewitness report of that. And yet I say nothing? What kind of witness is that? It's pathetic. It's no witness. That's just someone that saw something, but nobody knows about it. It's no witness. A witness has to testify to what they've seen. And you've seen a changed life in your own life and in others' lives. And these people that wrote the New Testament, they saw Jesus, eyewitness accounts of it. There's facts about it. There's a historical literature, can't even say the word, historical facts about literature that prove and point to the what the Bible says is true. There's archaeological facts to say it. It's the fact. It's the truth. We have to use our words. People's souls are at stake here. Now, we don't save lives. We all know that. That's up to Jesus. That is absolutely up to Jesus. But if people aren't told, how are they going to know? It's like you're walking around with a booger hanging out of your nose and nobody says anything to you. I know. Really? Say something. Be a friend. Right? If you're someone's true friend, you're going to say, hey, you need to go blow your nose. Right? Yeah. But yet we can't share Jesus with people? We don't want to get uncomfortable for Jesus? We have to start incorporating the gospel that Steve talked about last week into our everyday conversation. Into our everyday conversation. Now, you don't have to lay out the gospel every time, but I'll tell you what, you need to start working Jesus in. Well, I am who I am because of Jesus. Oh, I did this because of Jesus. I'm blessed because of Jesus. Jesus, you know, he died for my sins. I was wretched, but now I have eternal life. We need to get Jesus out in the world. I mean, defend his name. If someone uses it as a cuss word, defend his name. Hey, I work all the time. You know, they take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, are you praying right now? Hey, or, hey, yeah, is Jesus your Lord and Savior too? You know what I mean? Defend his name. And here's the other thing. Is we don't have to apologize for defending our faith. We think that in our politically correct society, everyone else is a protected class and we're not, so we can't share Jesus. That's wrong. We're a protected class too, believe it or not. The state of California, the United States, we're a protected class. We have just as much right to share our beliefs and our opinions as anybody else does. We forget about that. We think, oh, man, we're not, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for sharing Jesus at work. Well, they can't. It's what you believe in. It's who you are. They can't do anything. Now, you might have some issues. You might get shunned. You might get odd looks. They might look at you as though you got green antennas. But you know what? Good for you. Good for you. You're sharing Jesus. You're doing what you're called to do. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is. And you're sharing and spreading his good news, being part of advancing his kingdom. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Disturbing people led to lives being changed, to eternal souls being saved. Every person you run into is an eternal soul. Every person is an eternal soul. They need Jesus, just like you needed Jesus. But you didn't get Jesus until someone told you about Jesus. Share Jesus. When was the last time you shared Jesus? May I throw out some tough questions? When was the last time you truly shared Jesus with somebody? Presented them with the gospel. It's not that hard. He died for you. He rose again. You know, we all need him. You know, it's that simple. And not always are you going to share the gospel, but you're going to be planting and watering seeds when you interject Jesus into your everyday conversations. Interject Jesus. He's the center of it all. All things were made by him, for him, and he holds all things together. Can we not talk about it? Can we not talk about it? I mean, really, what would have happened if God didn't want to get disturbed for us? Would he have left his heavenly throne and come down and become a filthy man? What if Jesus didn't want to get disturbed for us? Would he have suffered and died on that cross for us? What would it be for us if they didn't want to get disturbed for us? We'd be damned. And rightfully so. But yet, Jesus made a way not just for us, but for everyone. So, for the love of people, disturb them for Jesus. I mean, think about it. What if, let's say there's 100 people in this room, keep my math somewhat simple. And each of us share just one time a day with one person a day for a week. That'd be 700 people heard about Jesus. What if all 700 of them came to know the Lord? Yes, praise Jesus. Could happen. But we're not doing that. But that could happen. That could be the grand scheme. And then they shared. And then that's 4,900 people. And now that's getting too far beyond me to go any further. But, you know, get my calculator. But you know what I'm saying. What if only one person says yes to Jesus? Hallelujah! That's one more eternal soul living forever in heaven with Jesus as they were created. Well, we did that, Paul, but we didn't see anyone. You don't know what Jesus is doing inside that person. And you don't know how you planted and watered and helped along as Jesus is making that seed grow. You don't know that. It's not for you to determine. I know for myself personally, it's like an 8-year process with at least 8 to 12 men plugging into my life throughout that 8 years for me to truly come into accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Were they disappointed? No. I'll tell you what, when I finally accepted the Lord as my Savior, I called each and every one of those men up and I said, hey, I'm living for Jesus now. I called them up because I want to let them know that their work was not in vain. But you know what? They wouldn't care. If I never called them up and they never found out, they wouldn't have cared. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a revelation of who Jesus is. And they couldn't help but take the chance to disturb people no matter what the worldly consequences would be, because they knew how important it was to see numbers grow in the kingdom of God. And they didn't care about anything else. So I say, let's be His true witnesses as we're told to be. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit, which wipes out fear, that gives us the courage we need. Let us know this. Be revelationized of who Jesus is. It's exciting. It's truth. It's fact. Accepting that He is who He says He is, our Lord and Savior. Let's disturb people. Let's disturb people. John and Peter, they're our example right here in this message. And they respectfully disturb people. Respectfully disturb people. Why? Not with their good, or how? Not with their good lives, although they lived good lives, but with their words, by proclaiming and teaching Jesus. You might receive some worldly consequences. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this and say it might be a little bit difficult for you. I mean, it might happen, but let me say this. Blessed are you, and this is Jesus speaking, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. I say amen to that. Amen to that. So let me be a little bit callous here. Or a little bit more, a little bit less, however you want to look at it. Get uncomfortable for Jesus. He got uncomfortable for you. You might receive some unpleasant consequences from the world. And I just say to that, who cares? Deal with it. Deal with it. You're not going to get thrown in jail and beaten or anything like that. At least not right now in our culture. The only thing you're going to get is an odd look, as though you're wearing alien antennas. But I say, put them on. Let people look at us, see our good lives, and look at us because we preach and proclaim the goodness of Jesus, that we are different. Accept it. We're different. Roll with it. It's fun. And I'm going to tell you what. What's the final result? You'll be blessed in heaven, and people will come to know Jesus. Eternal souls are at stake for the love of people. You know, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, the greatest commandment is to love God and love people. For the love of people. It's one and the same. When Andrew and I, we fill out things, you know, you can do an and or like at the DMV. If you do an or, either one of us can sign it, you know, and give away a car or sell a car or whatever. But if you do an and, it takes both signatures to get rid of it, to truly move that on. Or you get a check in the mail and it says and, you both have to sign it. That's the same with the greatest commandment. Love God, love people. It's one and the same commandment. It's two things, one commandment though. for the love of people, for the love of God, share Jesus. Eternal souls are at stake here. Eternal souls are at stake. And we want to see people change forever, and we want seeing the kingdom grow. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Lord, I just thank you that you are the Lord of all, that you have created the heavens and the earth, Lord. I just thank you that you have adopted all of us as sons and daughters of yours, so that we may be able to be filled with your Holy Spirit and stand in boldness with courage to overcome our fears, Lord, so that we may understand that it is a commandment for us to go and make disciples using our mouths, Lord. Being true witnesses with our mouths, Lord, saying, Jesus has done these great things. And you are the only salvation and the only way. You're the only Savior, the only Lord, and we just praise you for that, Jesus. And we want to see your kingdom come. And we just praise you that we can walk with you hand in hand. We thank you for being our Father, for being our friend, for being our Lord. Amen.